You know, there's so many things that I could teach. I could teach on New Covenant giving. Let me just say, there's so many people caught up because of the way the tithe and things have been taught. They were basically people tied out of fear. Some people ask, will I go to hell if I don't tithe? The answer is no, but someone else might. Think about that one a little bit. That's all I'll say about giving right now. But that's really the attitude that God wants us to have. And sometimes when you talk about the tithe, and people will say, under the new covenant, we don't have to tithe. And then those that believe in tithe will say, but the tithe isn't old covenant. See, we're new covenant believers. We're not under the law. The tithe is of the law. We don't have to tithe anymore. So those who believe in the tithe will say, but the tithe is a biblical truth, not a old covenant truth. Well, then why are we using old covenant motivations to encourage new covenant people to do something that's not old covenant? Now, that's something else to think about. Giving is a demonstration of trust and love. That's all it is. And knowing that God has already blessed us, He's already blessed us with all things. He's blessed us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, if it says if He's already blessed us with everything that pertains to life and godliness, that includes everything we need to live on this world. Think about that. So our giving is not what we do to make God bless us. We're already blessed. But rather, giving really is a demonstration that we believe God's already blessed us. If I have 100 rand in my wallet, and I think that's the last 100 rand I'll have because I don't really understand how good God is, then the tendency may be to hold on to that. But when I understand that there's a resource available to me that is a lot greater than what I see in my wallet at the time, then if I feel, man, you know what, I want to bless the work of God, I won't keep it back because I know that I have such, you know, if a millionaire has 100 rand in his wallet, he knows there's more. And the Bible says that He meets our needs according to His riches and glory, not according to the riches of this world. And so right now, Lisa and I, we've been really meditating and thinking about this because I don't know if you've discovered this, but the dollar is devaluing. Now, I deal in dollars. I'm American. Our supporters back home, they give us dollars. And I've discovered that here, the rand prices of everything keeps going up. Has anyone else noticed that? Just a little while ago, petrol was less than 8 rand a liter. Now it's 10 rand a liter. And so the dollar value is going down. The rand value is going up. The prices are going up. The tendency would say, oh, Lord. Instead, I say, wait a minute. My blessing is not contingent upon U.S. economy or South African economy. God said He'd meet my needs according to His riches and glory. You know what? If God goes broke, and He won't, all He'll have to do is chip up His driveway and pay for everything. When's the last time you could chip up your driveway and pay for anything? Bill, you owe me 10,000. Hold on here. What are you doing, man? That's not good enough. But with God, it is. That's not my message today. But everything we do in the new covenant, we have to do it with a new covenant, finished work of Jesus Christ mentality. Otherwise, you're going to be struggling. The sister came up and she gave a great word. Which one was you about doing things in your flesh and you'll fail? Who was that? You don't have to be embarrassed. It was good. Raise your hand. Anyway, she's not raising her hand. I don't see her. Anyway, but that's true. How many of you have discovered that maybe up until now, even now, we have to guard ourselves because flesh always wants to take back over. And that which we can do in the flesh takes no faith. And it takes faith to believe I'm accepted by God, not based on what I do, but based on what Christ did. It takes faith every single day to live according to that. Especially when we remember we got angry the night before. Or whatever. I'm not in right standing with God based on what I do, but based on what Christ did. We have to continuously remind ourselves of those things. Now, how many of you remember a lot of the church, maybe in your own life, but it was all conditioned about you fixing yourself. Get this fixed. Get that sin out of your life. Get this done. Do this more. Don't do that. And the whole focus is on me. And the joy of our salvation when we came to Christ when we first came to Christ, our focus was only on Christ because that's all we knew. I remember when I came to Christ, I was so happy. Look what's happened to me now. I used to be happy. Don't you want Jesus? No. We should always remember gospel means good news. If it stopped being good news, somewhere we've gotten off the truth. Because the Bible tells us, let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. And whether or not I get into what I was going to say, doesn't matter. Discovered a long time ago that it's not my message. I've tried so hard to preach my message, and I was like, what are you doing? I had a good thing going, Sean. And that was the Lord, you see. But I got to get to my 5 points. Maybe they don't need to hear that right now. Maybe they don't even need to hear it at all. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at verse 16. And Paul's writing and says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now here's the problem. A lot of times we think that this phrase is only talking about towards unbelievers. But I believe this verse is talking about the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't care how many Christians don't like it. Why? Now listen to me, folks. The gospel and the gospel of grace is a few things, okay? And grace is so much more than just a definition. To many people, grace is a definition that they can quote, but it's not affecting their life. If grace is only something that you can define, you're not under grace. Because grace changes your life. If your life is not changing or has not been changed, all you need is a revelation of the gospel. You don't need to try harder. You need a revelation of the gospel. And the gospel, a revelation of the gospel, is the person of Jesus. It's not even a message. It is. But it's about a person. It's not 5 points. But it includes those points. You understand what I'm saying? But it's about a person. Paul said, I believe it's in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, the first chapter, somewhere around there. He said, for I know in whom I have believed. Paul didn't say, I know what I believe. Now, he knew what he believed. We need to know what we believe. But he said, I know whom I believe. And he said, this gospel that I preach in Galatians chapter 1 is not a gospel I received from man, but I received this gospel from a revelation of Christ. When Paul got a revelation of Christ, he got the revelation of the gospel. He got the points. But because you have the points doesn't mean you have a revelation of the person. But if you get a revelation of the person, you'll get the points that Jesus died for you. It's done. But grace is not just a definition. We know that grace is the free, unmerited, undeserved favor towards those who don't deserve it. That sounds really nice and great. You can answer a test and get the question right. But it's so much more than that. Grace is the power of God to transform your life. Grace is the power of God made available to you, even though you don't deserve it, for God to be able to produce in your life everything that is well-pleasing in His sight through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. What is salvation? Don't have time to talk about that. It's a lot more than just forgiveness of sins. It's a lot more than just removal of sins. Did you know that in the new covenant, you don't just get forgiven, you get your sins removed? You know what the difference is? If someone sins against me and I say I forgive you, but I can still remember those things. So next time I may be a little have a tendency to not really want to be, I love you, brother, but not that closely. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I forgive you, but I don't trust you. And you know what? With human beings, that might be wise. If someone worked for you and they embezzled 3,000 rand from your company, you might, even though you love them, forgive them, you probably don't want to put them in charge again for a while, if ever again. Say, I love you, but not in my company. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But we're not talking about people. We're talking about our relationship with God. So God removes those sins because He knows that if you ever get a revelation of the gospel, it will transform your life. The gospel is the power of God to produce everything that you think you should be. But because we're not been preaching this for so long, since the time, I'm sorry, the Catholic Church hijacked the church, we've been preaching hierarchy, Christianity. We can't have a relationship with God. We have to go to our priest, and he can't even have a relationship with God. He has to go to his bishop and then all the way up to the Pope. Now, my grandmother was a Catholic, and she was born again because she trusted in Jesus. Listen to me. I'm not trying to say Catholics can't be saved and all those things, but I know, as a rule, Catholics don't know one thing about the gospel. That's not me ridiculing. That's just a fact. And so the gospel is not God's giving you a second chance to do better this time. The truth is, Jesus is your second chance, and Jesus will never fail. Therefore, think about that. If all God did was give you a second chance, you blew the first one, you blew the second one, as much as you blew the first one, probably even worse and more so, because then you had knowledge and you knew what you were doing. Think about it. I'm talking about as far as our conscience. You understand what I'm saying? But the Bible says the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Salvation includes, it encompasses everything. Everything that God wants you to be, the power for you to be that is in the gospel. That is why there is no excuse. And listen to me. I have a course, a series called Power of Grace. It's on my website. I have some cards if you need to get it. I've had people here in South Africa download that and say thank you so much all around the world, because it explains some things. You know, the Bible says that God's given us all things that pertains to life and godliness, but it's according to knowledge. If you don't know what's been given you, it can be as if it was never given to you. There have been people who died poor and they didn't even know they were rich. How many of you just saw the story about the homeless man in America who just found out he was rich? Lawyer was looking for him. Took him a while to find him because he was homeless. Finally found him and said, a relative you didn't even remember or didn't even know gave you this. Guess what? He was rich long before he ever discovered he was rich. But he couldn't take advantage of anything until he knew what he had. So that's why we need to teach the gospel and keep preaching this message, because flesh, and I was going to teach on a message on walking in the spirit versus walking in the flesh. Because if you walk in the flesh, you'll die. But if you walk in the spirit, you'll live. God did not save us and then say, now do the best you can. And when you get good enough, then come to my presence. But that's the way a lot of us have felt towards God. But when you understand grace, that it's His ability in you, working through you, and it's not according to any goodness that you produce, then you know what? This is a stronger message than any legalistic message you'll ever hear. Because now there's no excuse to stay the same. See, before, if it was up to me, I better do these things. Well, you know what? Maybe I just don't have the abilities that someone else has. Think about this. If it was God's standard for you to be saved, you had to sing as well as some of the people that are on this stage, and you can't sing, guess what? You're in trouble. Does anyone understand what I'm saying? But when God says, my grace has given you the ability to sing, and you say, no, that's not true. I must go to lessons. I must study. Now listen to me. We need to study the Word to find out what we have. I'm not talking about that. But I have to improve my flesh. God's saying, no, you don't. I didn't save your flesh. You don't approach me in the power of the flesh. You approach me in who I've made you, in your spirits. Our flesh does not need to be propped up and pampered. We don't live out of the flesh. If we do, we'll die. It says so in Romans chapter 8. Not me. Paul said that. But the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And in my version it says, for it is the power of God to salvation. In the King James it says, for therein is the power of God to salvation. So the idea is, in the gospel, the power that we need to be who God wants us to be, not who we want to be. See, flesh is, we approach God based on what we want. God, I'm going to start this business. Now bless it. Now listen to me, folks. I'm not saying don't start a business. God knows what He wants us to do. But you know what? I know what God's called me to do, and I would not stoop to be the President of the United States versus doing what I'm doing now. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? I would not stoop as low as to be the CEO of Microsoft with all the blessings it could bring and all of the delusions I could say. The reason I'm doing it is so I could be a funnel for the gospel of finances. But that is not what God called me to do. We don't need to offer God who we are in the flesh, what we can do. That is why, listen to me, folks. I hope I'm not offending anyone. But I hate when the church passed out gift tests to find out who we are and our strength in the flesh. And we use psychology to find out who we are. Did I offend anyone? They've left already. Okay. You know what? When I take a gift test, I take one of those psychological analysis. You know how you answer the questions and all these things. And, ooh, brother, you know what you are? You're a strong administrator. You need to sit behind a desk and you don't do well speaking in front of people. That's what my gift quest says. They're wrong. You know why? In the flesh, that may be what I can do. But God didn't tell me to give him what I can do. If I'm offending your religion, good. God told us to let him live through us, not to give him what we can do. What we can do in our strength is so far shorter than what God can do through us. The truth is, I can't speak in front of people. But I stopped asking myself a long time ago. You know, in the natural, when I get around people, I can be a little quiet because that's natural for me. It's true. But when I know it's time to preach, when it's time for me to do what God's called me to do, I don't do it with my abilities. And the same thing goes for you. There's so many things I could say. We're running out of time. I could just preach a whole message on living out of the flesh versus living out of the spirit. And folks, let me tell you something. When you got born again, it wasn't your flesh that got saved yet. I can go to so many scriptures and show this. Let's go to one. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. But here's the problem. For so long, the church has been telling us that we can't help but be failures. We just have to struggle and hang on. And one day, we'll go to heaven. And sin is our cross to bear. How many of you ever heard that message? Folks, sin was Jesus' cross to bear. And he set us free from sin. We don't have to live in sin. We have a choice now. Those who are joined to the Lord, there's a power source deposited on the inside of us called Jesus. It's not that God gave you, here, brother, here. And then he walks away. He said, hey, brother, here. See, a deposit generally means a portion. God didn't give you a deposit. He gave himself and the fullness. And in Romans chapter 8, because if we don't understand these things, we will struggle because we'll still try to offer God who we are and what we can do through our strength. And some people have more willpower than others, and some people will appear to be more successfully doing it than others. But notice what I said, appear. You know, if you take a muscle man, someone who's a bodybuilder, and you say, hold up this Bible, just like this. What? Now don't let it down, ever. Guess what? This is nothing. That bodybuilder may be used to bench pressing 500 pounds or whatever. You guys do kgs, right? 250 kgs. There are some guys that are just massive, aren't they? They can really, but you know what? This little Bible, eventually he'll fail. Eventually he'll, his arm. Now me, I may not be able to hold it up as long as a bodybuilder. And so for all of us, if we try to approach living for God by the power of our flesh and what we can produce and what we can offer God through whatever it is, our prayer life, our going out and witnessing to people and all these things we're doing to try to offer God so that he will be pleased with us because we don't believe he's already pleased with us, eventually we will crash and burn because we're doing it out of the power of ourselves, not out of the power of God. And you know what I've discovered? God will let you crash and burn because he wants you to crash and burn. If you're doing it out of your flesh, he wants you to see that you'll fail. So you give up and say, God, thank you. I need you. And he say, yeah, finally, someone who understands. Whoo, now I can live through this boy, through this girl. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 18. I have so much to share, so little time to do it. And so I know, Pastor, hopefully he still wants me to keep preaching. He wants me to start sharing on Wednesday nights, I believe. I think we're going to work something out after the Rob Rupert's concert. Sorry. Concerts are fun, aren't they? Anyway. So we'll see. We'll keep you posted. I'm just throwing that nugget out there to pique your interest. But here in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Notice this. Paul is specifically talking about a future time. I want you to get this, okay? In context, we're going to keep reading. He's talking about when we receive our glorified bodies. How many of you know that right now we don't have our glorified body? I didn't used to be this well-developed in my inner man, a middle man. You know what? Sometimes human beings get sick, but in your spirit, never get sick. That's why, but we don't have to live according to the flesh. We can say, no, I don't have to tolerate sickness. And by the power of the Spirit, that same power that raised Christ from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies when we believe. So we don't have to stay sick. But in the flesh, we can still get sick. But by the power of the Spirit, we don't have to stay sick. And if we walk in this revelation, we then don't have to get sick. Now, that's a different teaching. I don't know, maybe I flipped some of your switches, but there's such a thing available to us that we don't have to walk in sickness. And some will say, well, then how will we go to heaven then? Well, just go. Who says you have to die of cancer to go to be with Jesus? There's testimonies of a man of God. He was a faithful man of God. He was strong. Moses, the Bible says his body was strong. His eyes weren't dim. He just went to be with God. There was a man, he was in his, I can't remember, 80s or so. He just said, oh, sweetheart, by the way, tomorrow at 12 o'clock, I'm going to be with Jesus. You say, oh, yeah, I don't believe that. Well, guess what? If you don't believe it, don't worry about it. It won't bother you. And guess what? He ate lunch. His daughter fixed him lunch. He ate lunch, sat down with a little newspaper, and at 12 o'clock, he folded it, 5 minutes to 12, he folded the newspaper, put it on his chest, and then went to be with Jesus. He had finished his course. You don't have to be sick. Sick and sickness is of the devil. It's because of fallen humanity. And we have a greater power on the inside that if we will operate according to it, we can release all the power that God's put on the inside and it can manifest and affect who we are on the outside. But in Romans chapter 8, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, not to us." Now, we already have that glory, but when we receive the glorified body, we will then see it with our physical eyes. Right now, we believe it by faith. Everyone understand what I'm saying? We believe that we have this power on the inside. But then, when we receive our glorified body, because right now we have a natural body, but if you read 1 Corinthians 15, we will receive a spiritual body. And spiritual things are spiritually discerned. That is why when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus was the first person who received a glorified body. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says he's the first fruits. And after that, we who are his at his coming. So that means we're going to get the same body he has. But right now, we have the same spirit he has. Hello? But Jesus, when he was walking the earth after he was raised from the dead, have you ever noticed something weird, how his disciples didn't recognize him? Why? Because he now had a spiritual body. And they were looking at a spiritual body with natural eyes, and they couldn't quite interpret it. Hello? Brothers and sisters, that is some powerful stuff. That's why I just don't believe what you're teaching, because it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to your natural mind. That's why we have the mind of Christ. We don't see it with our physical eyes, but we see it with our spiritual eyes. But in verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." The whole creation is waiting for us to receive the redemption of our body. Why? Because the world creation knows, if we keep reading, it knows that when we receive our glorified body, very soon after that, they're going to receive their regeneration. How many of you read in Revelation it says, "For God made a new heaven and a new earth." Why did he do that? Because this earth cannot house glorified bodies. Hello? For us to be able to live on this earth long term, it has to be in the same condition as our physical body. You ever stopped and thought about that? How come God didn't save our body too? Because you couldn't stay here if He did. We have a job to do. And when someone comes up to us who's lost, think about it. If we're walking through walls, we would have people coming to Christ for all the wrong reasons. Man, I could come to Christ and walk right through that bank vault. Whew. Hallelujah! Yeah, I can be a Christian. But when someone who sees that we have a broken body like them but got healed, man, I need that. I need this good God that you serve. Now watch this. Verse 20 says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope." You know why this earth was subjected to futility? You know, when Adam sinned, death entered the whole universe. You know why? Because God gave this world to us. He gave us authority over this earth. Sorry if you don't like that. It's just true. And if we don't do what God told us to do, this world will fall apart. But if we do what God told us to do, our communities can be transformed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He just gave a testimony a couple of weeks ago or last week about the hospitals. Some of you go, "Oh, that is so supernatural." No, that's natural. You know what's supernatural? When Christians sit down and see nothing happen. That's supernatural. We should see that walking in the power of God and giving Christ to people and seeing people come out of wheelchairs, seeing people's heat tumors come off of them, seeing people whose legs are bent like this, like last Wednesday, and their leg gets healed. That's natural for us. So God gave us this world. And because of what we did, the whole world was subjected to sin and futility. But God promised the world that just as I'm going to save them, I'm going to save you. Just as those who believe in me, they're going to be changed and they're going to get a new body, so are you going to be recreated new. It's going to be awesome. You know why God has to change the new earth, make it into a new earth and a new heaven and a new earth? Because if He didn't, there'd still be tornadoes and hurricanes and volcanoes and earthquakes. Because God's not causing those things. We are. Because when death entered the human race, it entered the world and been corrupted. All that is corruption. Look at this. Verse 21. "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." You thought I was just making this up? See, the word says that. Watch this. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." Isn't that amazing? You know, if you hook up an EKG or one of those things on a woman when she's giving birth, and it's going, and all of a sudden she's having a contraction. Now look at a seismograph and it looks the same. When there's an earthquake, the seismograph is going like this. When a woman's giving birth pangs, the EKG, whatever it is, going like this. Isn't it amazing how God says that the world is groaning and travailing in birth pangs? All these earthquakes, you know what they mean? It's not God. It's the earth saying, "It's coming close. We're about to be redeemed. We're about to be changed. Hallelujah!" And that's why we need to empty hospitals and go to places and preach the gospel and see people come to Christ. Because we're in the last days. This is not a thing of fear, but we have to be motivated to go out and bring this glorious love and grace and gospel of Jesus to people. Now watch this. Look at verse 23. This is powerful, powerful, powerful. "Now, not only that, but we," who's this talking about? Us. "We who have the first fruits of the Spirit." Notice it didn't say "we who will have." We who one day, if we do everything properly, one day when we go to be with Jesus, we will then receive a new spirit. It says "we who have," present tense, possession, "the first fruits of the Spirit." You know what first fruits mean? It means there's more to come. Think about this. There's more to come. We've already been changed in our spirit. We're now joined to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, if anyone's joined to the Lord, he is now one spirit with Him. And that doesn't mean one like in unity, even though that's true. It literally means one to the exclusion of another. I don't understand that perfectly. But it's not just that I have Jesus living in me. Jesus also has me living in Him. We are now in Christ. We are joined. Molecule for molecule, if you want to look at it that way. Cell to cell, we are just like Jesus because He made it that way. Not because we made it that way. If we made it that way, we would have messed up just like everything else. It took Jesus coming, dying on the cross, making this available to us by His blood that has made this possible. Now watch this. But we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So what does that mean? I don't know if you've noticed, but we don't have a glorified body yet. How many of you wake up and there's a pain there? How many of you ever go out and you do some yard work or whatever, and the next day you're like, ooh. Now you know what? We don't have to stay there. We can use the Spirit and say, no, be healed in Jesus' name. But what I'm saying is, when we receive our glorified body, we'll never have that. And now that, because we still have this fallen flesh, folks, because it doesn't have the life of God in it yet. Understand what I'm saying? We don't have a sin nature and a righteous nature. We have a righteous nature. But it's clothed in this human flesh that's not yet regenerated. And if you live according to the flesh, Paul says, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you'll live. That's why when we try to do things by the power of our flesh, it only produces death. When we do things by the power of the Spirit, it produces life. There's so many scriptures I can go to. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, the flesh wars and lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And therefore, you don't do the things that you want to do. Now, some people look at that as a negative point. Oh, I want to live for God, but the flesh is so strong, and I don't end up not doing what God wants me to do. See, you're looking at it from only that perspective. Look at it from this perspective. If you just walk in the Spirit and focus on the things of God, you won't give in to and give a rip what the flesh wants to do. And therefore, you won't do what the flesh wants, such as, I don't feel like going to church today. How many of you ever feel like that? I don't feel like going to church today. I'm just going to stay in bed. Say, no, I'm not going to listen to the flesh. I'm going to go in and receive the Word of God, because the Word of God is what's necessary. Amen. We have to get beyond doing what we feel like doing in our flesh and say, no, I know that God lives on the inside of me, and there's a power available for me to live this life in victory. You don't have to be subject to sin. You don't have to live in sin, walk in sin, all that stuff. Jesus has made victory available to us by grace and by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Let's go to one last verse in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to give you an example. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 13. Because if you look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, 25 around there, it says, those who were Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions. And so we say, oh, I got to crucify my flesh. No. You've already died to sin, Romans chapter 6. It's how you're approaching this thing. You're not going to get victory over the flesh by the flesh. Does that make sense? I will have victory of my flesh by my own power. How? How can you have victory over the power of the flesh by using flesh? Look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So how do we put to death the deeds of the body? By the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 John 3:6, abide in Him. If you abide in Him, you do not sin. Notice it didn't say you cannot, it says you do not. When we abide in Christ, we don't want sin. Hello. There's the power released to have victory. But we're resisting temptation, resisting this, resisting that, by the power of the flesh, and no wonder we fail. Folks, I didn't even scratch the surface on this. There's so much more I can say. But victory in the Christian life is, who are you identifying with? Are you identifying with the Spirit, what Christ has done? Or are you identifying with yourself, your flesh? Amen. We need to identify with Christ. We do that, we'll walk in victory. And just as in this natural realm, if we're sick, if we don't appropriate the power that God's given us, we'll stay sick. Hello. In the same way, to walk in victory over whatever it is, we have to appropriate the power of the Spirit in the same way. Amen. Now, I have a whole lot I could say about flesh and this and that and the other. I don't have time to do that. But see, before we got born again, the devil was watching us, and he knew all the things we like to do. So after we get born again, he just tickles us a little bit. And so if we don't know who we are, we'll think that's who we are still. But we're not that anymore. Hello. You say, oh, but you remember you used to like to do this. Not anymore I don't, devil and flesh. I'm now a new creation. I now have the power of God inside of me. I don't have to give in to all these lies. You know, the other day, let me just give you a quick example and we'll finish right here. Sorry about that. I think I went a little long. Keep dropping this pen. Anyway, one day, I can't remember when it was exactly. My wife and I, we were driving around and we were going, I don't know if I gave this testimony here before. If I did, you'll hear it again. But we were driving around doing some things, and it was one of those days where things weren't going very well. Anybody ever have those days where things aren't going right? You're having this resistance, that, and everything. And so I remember we walked into the pavilion, and there was this lady standing, sitting there, a Zulu lady, with her child. And she's sitting down, and she says, "Pardon me, sir, but could you please give me some food? We have no food." And you know what? I wasn't in a good mood. I didn't feel like dealing with it. Sorry. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I didn't feel like dealing with this. I wanted just to go into Checkers, get what we needed to get, and go home. Anybody ever felt like that before? And so she says that. I say, "Okay, yes. Basically, okay, well, yeah." So I walk into Checkers, and I'm walking in there. And I start thinking about these things. You know what? In my flesh, I don't feel like dealing with this. But I'm not just flesh. I am wall-to-wall Holy Ghost inside me. And God wants to minister to that lady. And I'm going to let Him use me as a vessel of blessing and love to that lady, even though in myself I don't feel like it. See, too often in the Christian life, we only do what we feel like. And so I went and I bought her some food. I went back out. I gave her the food. And I said, "You know what?" And it was tempting again just to say, "Here's some food. Be warmed and filled." But no, Jesus wanted to minister life to her. We started telling her the gospel, preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. And she had asthma. And we prayed for her. And God instantly healed her. Instantly. She was so excited. We prayed for her child. What am I saying? If I went based upon how I felt, based upon how I felt in my emotions, based upon how I felt in my flesh, I would never have seen that miracle. I would never have allowed God to flow through me because I would have said, "Right now, I don't have the power of God. Right now, I'm carnal." No. I have the power of God, but right now, I was thinking like, in the flesh and saying what I wanted to do. I feel like going home. I'm tired, whatever. No, I will not live according to that. I will live according to what God has done, and I will allow God to flow through me and touch them. And when we did that, the power of God was released. Now, folks, that was not because I was so great and awesome that God did that. That was 100% grace. I didn't have my act together. I didn't feel like touching her. I didn't feel like praying for her. I honestly didn't give a rip in myself. But see, I recognize I'm not just who I am in the flesh. I'm not just Sean who should sit behind a desk and not talk to people. I am a child of God with the power of God and a responsibility to give this love to other people. And when we live like that, we'll start walking in the victory and the power that God has for us in all of these areas. It won't just happen. We have to believe it and we have to appropriate it and act upon it. Because I'm not just a man. You'll say, "Oh, I'm just a man." That's right. But I'm not just a man. I'm now supernatural as well. Jesus now lives on the inside of us. Amen? And we can walk out and see change and affect change and touch people's lives. But we have to stop living according to the flesh. It's like that lady said, you will never see victory over anything by your own power and your own strength and trying to handle it in your own self. Get a revelation of the gospel and watch and see what happens. Amen? Well, praise God. Bless you guys. I know we went a little bit longer than normal. Sorry. Like I said, I can't speak in front of people. Anyway, frankly, folks, for me to do this is a testament to what I'm teaching. I'd just like to pray with you today. And Heavenly Father, you see every single person here and you know every single thing they're struggling with. Father, I thank you for a revelation of Jesus. A revelation of the gospel that they will see that they already have victory over this. Whatever it is, whether it's a financial problem, whether it is a struggle with some sin that they used to struggle with before they came to Christ and they thought everything was fine. They didn't understand and they just believed the lie of the devil that they were still that old person. Father, I thank you that, Lord, they'll see that they have victory over this because they are not that person anymore. They are now a new creation. And they have to live according to that lie. There's now a new person, a new man on the inside that they can live according to. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that every single person here will live out of who you've created them to be in their spirit. that they will see that they have the answer on the inside of them, and that is Jesus. Instead of saying, oh, what will I tell them? They'll just say, thank you, Jesus, that you're going to minister to them through me. I had the easy part. I just show up. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for flowing through us and touching people, touching our family members, touching our loved ones, touching our neighbors, touching people in the store. Thank you, Lord God, that we can be in restaurants and pray for people and see them healed right there in front of everyone. And the gospel can break out because people say, what is this? What's happening? And you can just share the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. That you are so awesome, so wonderful, that you love us so much. And I thank you for a revelation of that, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Well, thank you, Sean. Now, let's just give the Lord a clap and a thanks, you know. If you get given a gift, you say thank you.